heads up, so if you want to take notes, probably a good thing to take notes, especially those who have recently been converted. It would be good for you to mentally or physically take notes. But we're going to do a little bit different prophecy. And we're going to go to the book of Galatians and look at prophecy there. 2,000 years ago or so, when the book of Galatians was written, and the Lord foresaw us, and so he prophesied concerning us. And so this is future tense for some, present tense for some, and that's what good prophecy is. But what I want to prophesy about is going to be in Galatians chapter 5, and we'll look at, again, the things concerning us as the Lord saw us and dealt with us accordingly. And I'll go back a little bit in this. But I want you to notice in verse 19, now, that's us, the works of the flesh are manifest. Oh, I thought it'd be a shout and run. That's prophecy. Amen. All right. Glory. It's come to pass. Or come to stay. The problem is a lot of times it's come to stay. It hasn't come to pass. And the Lord spoke concerning these things. And of course, Paul writing to the church at Galatia in this. But he says in verse 13, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Now, what is liberty? Liberty is to be free. You can ask Brother Maury, what is liberty, brother? It's to be made free.
Amen.
You can do what you want to do. You can. Salvation changes your want to.
Come on, brother. That's exactly right.
How about that?
I can do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But there's things I don't want to do. That which I would, I do not. So, when you look at the works of the flesh, in the light of liberty, true liberty, you can get away with pretty much anything. Right? No, you can do what you want to do. It doesn't mean you're going to get away with it. Why is it manifest? Because it's manifest that we might see us. That's why it's manifest. We've been set at liberty in Christ. And he told us that in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again. Listen to me, those of you that have been converted. Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You cannot be unequally yoked. Get entangled in that yoke of bondage. What does it mean? You're back in bondage with no liberty again. Because something's entangled you. You've gone back to the things you left. You've gone back to the things that you forsook. You can talk to some that have been saved since 1959, 1983-ish, 1997. And you ask them, did you ever go back to anything that you left? And sadly, I believe all of us would probably say, there are things I went back on.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be so.
Right.
That's right. That's why he told us to be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That is a snare to us. You see, when you come to repentance, now bear with me on this. I hear people make this statement, well, I don't know if I repented of everything that I needed to repent of. Well, I don't know if it's possible to repent of everything I needed to repent of to be born of God. But what I did repent of is my relationship and my standing with God. My ways were not his ways. My thoughts were not his thoughts. When I came to repentance, there were still things in my flesh that I despised and I hated. But more than that, there's things that God hated.
Come on, brother. That's it right there.
So what he does is he changes your want to.
Yeah,
let me ask you a general question. You don't, please don't raise your hand. Does anybody here want a hangover? Okay, just making sure. Well, how come some of you want a cold brew then?
Oh, bro.
Because you don't want to deal with consequences.
Good.
You can raise your hand on this. Does anybody here want another wife? Different wife than what you have? Anybody? You say, that's a good recovery. Amen. You say, God forbid. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't be a Mormon. I can't handle the one I got. Just being honest with you. Did she go? Oh, she's behind the post. Excuse me. Normally she's messing with the children, not listening. So I guess she caught me that time. You do what you want to do. But in Jesus Christ, he gives you the ability to change what you want to do.
Amen.
Again, it goes back, I said this at Grace yesterday, it goes back to that man years ago saying to me, he said, man, marijuana is the herb of the earth, man. God gave it to us. And I've made the statement many times, I said, well, go smoke poison ivy then. It's just as foolish.
That's right.
That's right. It's just as foolish. It's just as foolish.
Amen.
Jesus turned the water into wine. He didn't turn it into hard liquor or beer.
That's right. You got that right.
And when he went fishing, he didn't have a 12-pack in the boat. Just throwing that out there. You say, why would you say something like that? Because I'm exhausted, I got a splitting headache, and I don't know what I'm going to say tonight. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Oh, there, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. We're not going to use our liberty for an occasion to serve the flesh. So we say, well, I can do what I want to do, but you don't use it to serve the flesh. You don't use it to satisfy you. And he goes on, he makes this statement. And he said, but by love, serve one another. That is the fulfillment, he tells us, of the law. On this hang all the law and the prophets, does it not? That you love your neighbor as yourself. Is that not what God desires? Is that not what God wants? Is that not what God needs? So what we're dealing with today in the hour, in this time that we have in this service, I want to look at the flesh. He goes on then, it says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, what are you obligated to do? And by the way, that is one of those things that I hear people all the time ask about. They'll say, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, he tells you right here. To walk in the Spirit is to fulfill the fruit of the Spirit. And not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't walk in the Spirit fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It is that basic. It's that simple. But it's pretty hard. I'm talking as a preacher, and as holy and wonderful a man as I am, it's difficult for me at times. Like today, and yesterday, and Saturday, and tomorrow. Yet he tells us to walk in the Spirit. And so therefore, we must be able to walk in the Spirit. For he said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. You see, the flesh wants something different than the Spirit wants. The flesh wants something different than what the Spirit wants in us. And so they are at war with each other. This body of flesh, my body, that is my flesh, warreth against the Spirit because my body is never satisfied. My body never has enough. My body is never contented. My body never is satisfied in anything. But yet, I have the ability to war against myself, to walk in the Spirit. And that's the only way to do it. Now, I am going to preach something I know a little bit about from both sides. Because I, too, am a human just like you are, and I am a person just like you are, and those of you that are saved by the grace of God, I'm saved just like you are. But I still have this body of flesh. And so let's look at a couple of these things. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. And then he said, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. That's your will. That is your, you cannot do what your will is and walk in the Spirit. You must prove what is that good. How do you do that? Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you find that? You walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit, you'll find the will of God. It is the will of God for every person in this room to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
And as I've been in a meeting where a lot of people pretended to be in the Spirit. I've been in a meeting where a lot of people pretended to walk in the Spirit. I've heard men preach that were forcing the issue of how spiritual they were. And I love it what the Fane Jordan said. I'll just share it with you again. I always love Brother Fane. I love the memory of Brother Fane. He's been dead, I guess, 14, 15 years now. But he's the one I first heard. He said, Spirit-filled people don't know they're Spirit-filled. You ever hear somebody talking about how spiritual they are? You can rest assured of this.
All right.
Well,
yeah.
Spiritual people don't brag about how spiritual they are. Because the more spiritual you are, to be honest, the more carnal you feel. The more spiritual you are, the more wretched you feel. If you're actually spiritual, you're not going to feel spiritual. Because you're going to find out you're not.
Amen.
You may get out of bed this morning and look in the mirror and go, man, I look spiritual. I did get to sleep in this morning. Thank the Lord for that. I needed a little bit of sleep, but sadly, our wretched company didn't depart until 12:30 last night, so sleeping in meant nothing at 5:30 this morning. And I went out and went to the across the hall where we stayed there at the fellowship building, and I went in and I remember just kind of glancing at the mirror and was afraid to look in the mirror. I didn't look spiritual, I didn't sound spiritual, I didn't smell spiritual, I didn't feel spiritual. I wasn't spiritual. So what do? You die to that flesh. Take the word of God, put your face in the word of God, bow your head before the Lord, make your petitions known unto him, ask him for help for the day, die to your wants, die to your will, die to your desires. Let me just say a couple things here. I got up a couple times this week, 2:30, 3 o'clock, 3:30. Now listen to me, men, I didn't go hunting either.
Good.
I didn't go fishing either.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you say it's amazing how early you can get up when it's your flesh.
Come on now, right.
Yeah.
Come on,
brother.
With your flesh, it's easy to get out of bed.
That's right.
Amen. I remember getting up 3 o'clock in the morning to go fishing only to Ralph my breakfast over the rail in the Gulf of Mexico in 7-foot swells. Because I thought it was going to make me happy. Amen. Now, I'm not preaching against hunting and fishing. I'm just saying it's amazing what you can do when your flesh has a want. I've watched people get up at 5 in the morning to go to the amusement park 3 hours away. Hey, let's have service tomorrow at 6 a.m. Well, amen. But the sun's not up. Now listen, for all you that need extra sleep, every once in a while it won't hurt you. It doesn't have to be habitual. But let's show this. I don't care if you get up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 8 a.m. When you get out of bed, die to your flesh. I don't mind getting up at 9. I don't mind getting up at 10. I wouldn't kind of like no time you went to bed, to be honest with you. That's okay. We contacted one of our people in Cape Verde. I don't want to rat them out because they might be listening. And one of the statements made is, I'm feeling better now because I got to sleep. And at home, they don't let me sleep all day. Amen. Somebody I know personally. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's days I'd like to sleep all day.
Yes, sir.
You see, it's what we want that controls whether or not we're spiritual or whether we're calm. It's what we desire. And when you can force yourself to do what God wants, that is presenting your body a living sacrifice.
That's right.
That's good.
If you can.
If you can.
Now, Again, I got up pretty early this week, so I can preach it this week. You know, 2 weeks from now might be more difficult.
Yeah.
Next week would be really hard. You know why? Because we were on the road for 12 days. It'll be a lot harder. But it doesn't mean I can't die to myself. Now listen, it's not what time you get out of bed. It's whether or not you die to your flesh. People got to bed early to go work so they can make money. People work all day to make extra money. But they won't do anything to seek God's face.
Come on, hear about it.
They'll work all day to make a dime, but they won't do anything to seek God's face. So don't tell me you're seeking God.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's go through this quickly over the next three nights. You laugh. If we're done this by Wednesday night, some of you will thank me. If we get done here, we may just go deal with it somewhere else. Maybe the book of Ephesians would be good. Verses like, be angry and sin not. We probably preached two nights on that.
Yeah.
Heard a man years ago, he said, anger is one letter away from danger. He said Webster's, I think the fourth definition, fifth definition of Webster's of anger is temporary insanity. Be angry. Be ye angry and sin not. It's not whether or not you're angry, it's what you do with it.
Come on,
yeah.
I get angry. I had a guy cut in front of me today. Crazily cut in front of me. I just figured it's devils trying to kill us. You don't have to think that. I'm just telling you the facts. So you know how I reacted? With all grace in my heart. I gave him the horn. Down south, I had a preacher told me, he was riding with me, guy cut us off in traffic, I laid on the horn. He just looked, he stared, it wasn't Vernon either, he doesn't care. He's staring at me. And I realized he's uncomfortable. I said, oh, we're up north, brother. He goes, yeah, I know. He told me, he said, down here, he's, that's an offense to people. So we get to the next light, I'm like, anyway. And really, I had to justify it to him, you know, because down there, that's kind of, you don't do that to people. I'm like, man, he needs to move where I live. Go to New York City sometime. I was the first time I went to Boston. I found out in Boston, stoplights mean slow down and pull out in front of the guy, and if he stops, go. I learned that almost the hard way in Boston one time. That was back in 90. I can't imagine what it's like now.
In New Jersey, yellow means Florida.
Right. Yeah, that's why car insurance is $4,000 a year in Jersey, too. Now, the works of the flesh, he tells us what they are. They're manifest. It means it's revealed in you. That's prophecy. It's in your body. It's going to come out on you. Now, listen. It's not whether I see it. It's not whether Pastor Haynes sees it. It's not whether Pastor Asquith sees it or Brother Maury, some of the more novice preachers that are here. That's not an insult.
Right.
Do they see it? Maybe not. But there's two people that need to see it. One, the Lord already sees it. And you need to see it. We can all see it. But if I come tell you, you know, I'll use Timothy as an example. That's odd. I'll use Timothy as an example. Timothy, you're wicked. And he'll take my word for it, but it's pretty vague, isn't it? He'll go, yeah, I know I am, but that doesn't help me one bit. I go, Timothy, you're just a seething pus ball of lust. Timothy will go, yeah, I am. I know. I know. That's not going to help him one bit until God manifested in him. And God manifested in you what your works of the flesh are, then God can do something with it.
That's right.
It's a joy to have God make manifest what you are. Let me just say this real quick. I've said it many times. I've been saying it now long before I met John Asquith. Be real clear about this. Long before I met John Asquith and Dale Morey, I've been saying this. I want to make that real clear. Why do you need help sleeping? Is it a health problem?
Come on.
It's your conscience. God makes that manifest in you. That thing that you lay awake at night and think about, God is making manifest that in your life. The reason God wakes you and won't give you sleep is because God is making manifest that in your life. The reason that God troubles you is he's making manifest the works of the flesh in your life. And so we try to block that out. We try to erase that. That's why, again, the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness shall be quietness. Why does the world have all that noise? It's to block out the voice of their conscience. They have to have music. They have to have the television blaring. They have to have something in their mind, something going on. If they had to sit quietly, they'd have to either smoke weed or shoot up or drink liquor to block out the voice of their conscience if they had to be quiet. Some of you know, you ever go in a nice quiet bar? Everybody's just meditating on their life and pondering their lost estate, and thinking about how they could better themselves. You ever been in one of those places? Amen. Why do they let sunlight in the bar? They want you to lose track of your life.
Well, good.
They don't let sunlight in the bar. You open the door in the daytime, they scream at you. They don't want the reality of their life. Why are they in the bar? Because their life stinks.
Right.
Why do they go to the liquor store? Because their life is terrible. That's why. Why do they pop pills? Because their life stinks. They hate their life.
Right.
They got a guilty conscience before God. God's made that manifest in your life. God made that manifest in your being. God has manifest the works of your flesh inwardly to you, and you despise it and don't want to deal with it. God's trying to reveal what's wrong with you. We don't want to face it. God's trying to show you what's deep inside of you. You don't want to dig down in there. You don't want anybody touching that. Some people get mad at the preacher. I said, that's why people get, you just say amen, that's why people get mad at the preacher. Because they got bitterness and malice, envy, strife, variance. I've never been right with God and been mad at the preacher. Just go ahead and say amen on that. Say it louder. It's all together. One, two, three.
Amen.
Never been right with God and been mad at the preacher. I don't care, he was a heretic. I never been mad at the Calvinists when I was right with God. Why? God's trying to make manifest what you are. God's trying to manifest what's in your heart. So what do? We knee-jerk react, anything we can, block that voice, block that conscience, try to get it out of there. We don't want to deal with it, don't want to face it, don't want to confront it. So what do? Get rid of the preacher. Or hit the road ourselves. Rather than deal with what God's trying to reveal to us. God makes manifest the works of the flesh. God makes them manifest that you might know them, that you might correct them. God uses it to show you what you are. You ever known a habitual liar? That person that can lie their way out of a lie, out of a lie, out of a lie, and then tell another lie to cover up the fact that they lied out of their lie and their lie. Yeah. I mean, I've known people like that. Yeah. But do you think they've ever lied? No. But if I said, you're a liar, they'd say, you're lying. Don't you accuse, that's right, don't you accuse me of lying.
Right, that's right.
That's a fellow I used to pigeonhole. I used to pigeonhole to make the, I would push him into place and make him tell the most absurd lie ever. And then go, there's no way that happened. Yes, it did. And it would all laugh. That's back when I was lost. And by the way, I'll do that as a preacher too if I need to. Then God might manifest what a wretched liar you are. I love the Lord. Then why don't you go to church? Why don't you read your Bible?
Well,
it's make manifest that you don't have that fellowship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you spend time with him? Brother Ronnie sent me a text the other day, asked me for prayer. Now, you have to know he and I's relationship, okay? It's as screwy as he is, as screwy as I am. I've never had a weirder friend. And he sent me a very serious matter over text. So I sent him a little cartoon gif of a guy going. That's my response. And I said, is this edifying? Now, I did send him a serious text after that. You say, why would you do that? Brother Ronnie, just in case what you sent me was carnal, I want to see how serious you were.
Good.
I'm being serious now.
Right. Okay.
You say, I wouldn't be that way. Well, that's just me. You don't have to be like me. I don't want you to be like me. You don't want to be like me. But you can rest assured this, even a lot of our petitions are carnal.
Oh, yeah.
And God's trying to make that manifest.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, I sit in churches and I listen to prayer services and prayer requests, and there's times of such a grief because it's just all carnal. It's all about us, it's all flesh.
Yes.
It's all about who can gossip, who can make the show of the flesh, who can come up with the greatest. Listen, I knew a lady years ago in the church I first started going when I got saved, and she could top any prayer request you had. I think she read the newspaper to find things to request prayer just in case you topped hers. I mean, if you broke your spine in a skiing accident, she'd find someone broke spine and their leg in a snowmobile accident. Just show the flesh. God makes manifest these things. But how do we know it's work of the flesh? Well, he tells you what they are. Adultery. You ever cheat on your spouse? You're an adulterer. So God makes manifest that work of the flesh, the fact that you committed adultery, you're an adulterer. And you can't escape that. And I realize that some of you that live with the guilt of that. There's some of you have been converted that have lived with the guilt of that.
Yeah, that's right.
There's some of you that God has made manifest that so that you would get saved. And you found forgiveness in Christ, but it has fractured your marriage, wounded your marriage, destroyed your home. But God makes manifest that you're an adulterer. It's a work of the flesh. Not only are you telling your spouse you're not satisfied, you're telling God you're not satisfied.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Painful. But you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. Married man looking at pornography, he'd better deal with it. And he'd better make it right with his wife.
Yeah.
Some of you have done that. Some of you have done that.
Yeah.
Better make it right with his wife.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Married man flirting around with his women at work, playing around with his women at work.
Oh, boy.
Married woman at work.
Oh.
I was telling the young men last night, we have edifying gym night. And that's where we shoot basketball or something until the preacher gets stirred up and wants to talk about something. That's just how it is. Been that way for a long time, hasn't it? Amen. They stay in my home, we have a good time, and I feel like the Lord says, okay, say it now, and I say it. It's just what it is. We're talking about this matter of a man I knew years ago, had just not a secret affair with a woman that we worked with. He was one of the high-ranking men, an angry man, a very bitter man, but he was one of the higher-ranking people. He had to just barely could hide his affair. Everybody knew he was having an affair with this woman. Within 2 years of that affair being made known, his wife died. Within a year, the lady he had the affair with lost both of her breasts to a double mastectomy. Now, why do you suppose that happened? Could it you reconcile this with the Bible? Not with me. Could it be that God was trying to make manifest what he was? Now, if that doesn't make you tremble, nothing will. Could it be that God was making manifest that he was an adulterer? Has God made that manifest in your life? Secondly, fornication. We're going to give testimonies. Man, I was such an awful fornicator. Man, I was just a bad fornicator. Man, I was a big time fornicator. I mean, no, why? Because it's a horrible reproach. It is such a shame.
Amen.
That work of the flesh being made manifest, a fornication, that sin against your own body,
amen,
that relationship outside of the bond of marriage. And then folks get married, and it's all forgotten about. Except with God. You think God's forgotten about it? You think God's just going to dismiss it? No, you better reconcile it with God. God will make manifest things in your flesh to let you know that you're a fornicator.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Come on.
God will make things manifest in your body. What is AIDS? It's a recompense of their error.
Right, that's right.
What is VD besides tomorrow? It's a recompense of the error. It's the reward of iniquity,
yeah,
in your flesh,
yeah,
when you sin against your own body.
Yeah.
Vile diseases. Al Capone is one of those legendary figures. Of course, now they've, you know, you take Al Capone tours and you tour the old speakeasies in the jail where he was. He was a vile and wretched and wicked man.
Yeah, that's right.
But he was horrified of needles, according to historians. He died an agonizing, slow, and horrible death with syphilis. Why? God was making manifest in his flesh the things he had done. And that'll make me tremble too. But by the mercy of God, that God manifested before he had to kill some of us. That God manifested before he had to absolutely destroy us. Now listen, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. You could lose babies. You lose a spouse. You ladies might not be able to have children. You men might not be able to have children. The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. God could kill you. And rightfully so. Interesting prophecy conference, isn't it? How did God know this would be taking place today? It's just been taking place for 6,000 years. Flesh has never changed. It means vile affections have never changed. The lust of the flesh has never changed. The attack of Satan has never changed. But fornication is so dismissive.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
A thing Paul Scott talked about many years ago here. That's one of those just unusual October meetings. I had no liberty that afternoon, but Paul Scott was here. And listen, Brother Paul Scott, I don't know if he's watching or not, but Paul Scott's not like me. I mean, he's just not like me. And I went back there and said, "You have a message ready?" He just looked at me like a deer in the headlights. I said, "I think the Lord wants you to preach." He said, "Okay." But he talked about that thing being brought to that piece of bread. That woman keeping that man, keeping him hungry, keeping that piece of what? Because he fornicated. He paid a terrible price for that. Always holding that against him. And by the way, I've heard with my own ears. I've heard people say that to their own spouse. Well, we did this before we were married. Such were some of you.
Amen.
But it is past tense. God makes manifest the works of the flesh. I think a lot of people, part of their conscience, the reason they can't sleep, is because of that perversion. So, pop some pills, get some sleeping aids, some anti-anxiety drugs. Let's pop them because, you know, still perverse. Can't deal with God, can't deal with our conscience. Well, Laverna called me one day and heard a preacher on the radio. A man said on the radio, now we knew the man personally. I've known him personally. My wife has met him personally. Last time I saw his wife alive, he had to tell her to chew her gum. That's how her dementia was. Standing outside the restaurant, she was cognizant of nothing around her. And all of a sudden, she makes kind of a guttural sound. He turns around, he grabs her chin, he says, chew. She went. That's how bad her dementia was. On the radio, that man said, Job and his trials. He said one of the trials he had was that God left his wife there and didn't kill her. I got a problem with that.
Amen.
But you'd be amazed how many men have that in their hearts.
I know.
How many women have that in their hearts. The burden of marriage. The burden of having a spouse. The burden that you bear. Oh, what a terrible burden it is. You know what that is? That's your wicked, lustful heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
You're just as wicked as the man that wants to trade it in for a new model.
Come on, bro.
Just as vile, just as wretched. Well, prophecy number three. Uncleanness. I shared recently with some folks about going through the Bible, going through uncleanness, the laws of uncleanness. Why? Because there is still uncleanness abounds in our land. Men are perverse today. They're vile today. I told the folks over at Grace, and I'm not boasting, this is just the reality, but there's been a time when I've told my wife not to shake a man's hand. Don't you shake his hand. Listen, I know way more than some people think I know. And I just told my wife, don't you shake his hand. And sure enough, here he comes. Now, you men, listen to me. You won't look me in the eyeballs, don't you look my wife in the eyeballs. And vice versa.
Yeah.
You ladies don't want to talk to my wife, don't come talk to me.
Come on, brother.
Come on.
Seen it too many times.
Come on.
Sucker walked with a gimp, and all of a sudden he'd see that pretty lady, he'd straighten up a little bit. He'd put that hand down and start walking as straight as he could. Big smile on his face. I'm not making this up. Hello, sister. I told my wife, you stay away, don't even shake your hand. Within months, somebody contacted and said, do you know brother so-and-so? And I said, well, I wouldn't call him brother. They said, well, he was in our church presenting his ministry. And I said, what ministry? And she said, well, he does vacation Bible schools and, you know, has a helps ministry and he'll come. And she goes, you know, he sings songs and does this and this. And I said, but this time about mad. And she said, do you know him? I said, oh, we know him all right. I said, I said, did he talk to your husband? She had to think a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Didn't mean to uproot that in some of you. Uncleanness. Filthiness. Well, be careful, little eyes, where you look. You can ask my wife. I don't make this stuff up. I've publicly rebuked men for looking at other women. I told a man one day at the auction, I said, don't you touch my wife again. He thought he was going to bow up until he looked up. It's unclean. You say, I wouldn't talk like that. Christians don't talk like that. I got a King James Bible. At least I didn't take him by the beard and rip his hair out of his beard. Oh, brother Nehemiah, thank God for him. That's what he did with uncleanness. Amen. I tell you, Jesus did with uncleanness. Took a scourge and whipped him out of the temple with it. People don't know what Christ is. They don't know who Christ is. They don't know what godliness is today.
Amen.
I told that sucker, I said, don't you touch my wife again. uncleanness, unclean spirits, abounding. That's just a church.
Well,
you better believe it.
I'm going to say this real plain.
Yes.
Real plain. Ladies, there's some men you don't want to shake hands with.
Well,
yes, sir.
I tell you what I was taught. I was taught a lady extends her hand first. You see some old guy walking up like this, that clammy old hand is... Anyway. You better be real careful. Uncleanness is destroying us. And it's amazing how he goes down through this and he talks about these things first, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Why does he talk about lasciviousness? Because it abounds. It is that sexual desire. It's that lewdness. It's that lust, that uncontrolled lust. That's what lasciviousness is. I have a couple of verses to help us out. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The other's a little more self-explanatory, so I thought we'd just kind of look some verses up for this. In verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 12, as he's closing out his last letter to the church at Corinth, "Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and then I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." So he touches on the other, but then everything else is bunched up in lasciviousness. That's all the other perversion. Not fornication. And by the way, the devil will come tell you that's not fornication. But it's lasciviousness. I'm not committing adultery. It's lasciviousness. Bear with me on this. I'm not hurting anybody. It's lasciviousness. That sexual desire, that uncontrolled sexual desire, that predatory mindset, both men and women. I've been in ministry long enough to know. I said both men and women. Pretty bad when a man is fat and old and ugly, and some woman's batting her eyes at him. She's just full of devils. Just unclean, lascivious. Desirous things, perversions. It needs said. The weirder the relationship, the more perverse it is, the more some people are satisfied. Don't you think there's boundaries for those type of people?
No.
There are no boundaries that they won't cross.
Yes,
I mentioned my friend before many times. Mentioned him yesterday, I believe it was. Man in a wheelchair. He is a man in a wheelchair. Woman come to church. I mean, I was told, I never met her, thank God. I was told by a couple of good-looking woman in her 30s. He was in his 50s. All of a sudden, he realized she was after him. Man in the wheelchair. Come to find out, once she got out of church, then she really revealed herself through Facebook, and she was a witch, practicing witchcraft. Don't you discredit anybody that's lasciviousness.
That's right. That's right.
Might want to examine yourself, too.
Hello.
Ephesians 4 and 14. Now listen, don't let this deter you from tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, we're going to preach on the glory. We're talking about liars, thieves, drunkards. Ephesians 4 and 14, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Isn't that interesting? He goes down to verse 19, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness." Now listen, "with greediness." They want it all. Greediness. They'll fight for it. They'll kill for it. They'll do what they have. Why? Because their lasciviousness. The lasciviousness will cause them to lust beyond the pale. And it's amongst us. Do you see why you put on the armor of God? Michael Asquith made that statement to his father that he believed probably 100% of men unsaved under the age of, was it 40?
50.
Was it 50? Looking at pornography. You know what that means? You go to check out at Dollar General. That guy checking you out, lady, he's checking you out more ways than one. You go down to the store, that man standing next to you is looking at pornography. That man in line behind you has been looking at pornography. And by the way, it's, I noticed, and you know, they used to do the, Bob, you remember the old days, cat call, especially in Philly. Cat call and whistling at the women, you know, the construction workers, woo, baby, woo, you know, and all that. You know, all of a sudden, now, men don't do that anymore. They don't even think it anymore. You know why? They've left that natural use of the woman. Men, that lady next to you in line, at best, adulterer, fornicator, lasciviousness, uncleanness. That's the norm today. So what do? You put on the whole armor of God. You die to your flesh.
Amen.
And if that's in you, may God manifest it before it destroys you.
Yes.
A couple more verses. These are a little nicer. 1 Peter 4. In verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine. That's odd. Sounds like drunkenness to me. Now listen, in the modern day in which we live with modern pasteurization, purification, all those things we have, somebody help me out. How much wine is too much today? Somebody help me out.
Any.
That's good thinking. But it helps your heart. Destroys your liver, but it helps your heart. Pastor Hain, thank God for your health. I saw her there next year. You're up again for Sunday school superintendent. I'm going to pass a motion to give you 20 more years. That'll get you up over 100. That way, maybe the Lord keep you here for, you know, 20 more years. But Brother Hain, if you want your heart to last a long time, they say drink a little wine. Brother, eat dark chocolate. Eat dark chocolate's much better for your heart than wine. Much better for your health than wine. And if you don't like dark, get milk chocolate. Much better than drinking wine. Amen. You're better off eating a ham every day than you are drinking some wine. Just throwing that out there. They walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. That's what he lumps it in with. Then we go back to the book of Jude. Again, we look at that same phrase in Jude 1 and verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. They hide it. That's part of their lasciviousness. They're predators. They are predators. You realize every man, listen to me, every man that's ever looked at pornography, somebody introduced him to it. I don't think there's anybody who just went and decided to do it on their own. Somebody said, hey, look at this. And a lot of it was in church.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
I've known multiple churches with scandals amongst the young people because of indecent photographs, perversion, videos, multiple churches. I know two churches, one in Georgia, one in South Carolina, an hour and a half apart. They were in perfect fellowship until the young people they found out were in far more than fellowship. God forbid, young people. God forbid. My greatest fear at Youth Week is that one of these days we're going to run into that.
Oh, God.
It's been my greatest fear at Youth Week. I picked a phone up one day up at the Vadis's. The boys, you know, up there taking showers. And I picked a phone up to see whose it was. And just then a text came in. It was had a name, one of the young ladies here at Youth Week. This is several years back. And absolutely a profane rant. I put that phone in my pocket. I watched that young man scouring the house searching for that phone.
Oh, boy.
I finally came down here to the church. I waited a little bit and said, hey, I found this phone. Somebody said it might be yours. And he's just in absolute panic, grabs that phone, pulls it out of my... It's the only thing I saw. I didn't look at anything else. I didn't nose at his phone. I wasn't prying. It just popped up on his screen. You realize one of the big-name pastors in fundamentalism got arrested for the same thing. And Deacon found his phone on the pulpit. 17-year-old girl was texting him. Deacon saw her picture, saw her name, saw the text, called the police. 10 years in prison. They crept in unawares.
Exactly.
They've crept in unawares. That little sexual perversion destroyed us. Has God made manifest that in your life? It would shame us. I said it would shame us, but some people might need shamed. We gave an invitation. It says, God made that manifest in your life? If we were honest about it, there'd be a lot of folks at the altar.
That's right, sir.
That's right.
Yes.
Look at this preacher. I battle it every day.
That's right.
Exactly.
I said I battle it every day.
Sure.
But I don't give in to it.
Man, that's the difference.
Some of you aren't even battling it. Who were before of old ordained this condemnation, ungodly men.
Right.
Ungodly men.
Yep.
Turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Where's the best place in the world to find a pure girl? Somebody help me out. Church. Church. So where do you go if you want a pure girl? You go to church. Where do they go? Church. Then they propagate it amongst the young people. Where does the sodomite go? Find a nice, clean young man.
Oh, my.
You listening?
Come on.
Church.
That's right.
Oh, brother.
You got it, brother.
Yeah.
I'm not blowing smoke.
No.
But God makes these things manifest. And God manifests them because they're works of the flesh. And if you do these things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what he said. You want an invitation? You don't need one. You just get right.
Yeah.
Die to your flesh. This man, men in this room could stand and give testimony. Some of the men in this room are very close with, have privately confided in me. I've confided in them. We talk as men talk.
Right.
What does that mean? We got food in our teeth. Our breath stinks. We spit a lot. White spit. Amen. Thank you, Steve. These young cocky preachers always correcting the old timers. I came up in a different day, Stephen. Real men chewed tobacco and lost their teeth at 20 back in my day. Amen. And there's some godly men in this room who suffered greatly because these things were in their flesh. This preacher suffered greatly because these things were in their flesh. When I came to repentance, you know what God did? He cleaned me up.
Okay.
He sanctified me. He purified me. Gave me a wife. Gave me children.
Yes.
Gave me a home. I don't want to throw it away. I don't want to throw it away on some piece of trash that's a predator.
That's right.
I don't want to throw it away on some vile affection, some work of the flesh. Now I know, I already know. There'll be one that'll leave here and say, they shouldn't talk like that in church. Fornicator, adulterer, unclean. Lasciviousness, whoremonger. Everybody okay? Do not prostitute thy daughter.
Amen.
Old man of God is precious to me. He said from the pulpit after I preached one time, he says there's certain things that you don't need to talk about in mixed company. And I didn't rebuke him, I didn't correct him, but I sat there in the pew and I said, I'll talk about it to the day I die because it's destroying us.
That's right.
It is destroying us. Part two on prophecy tomorrow. I think tomorrow we'll go to Galatians chapter 5. And you know what we're going to do? I look at the rest of those works of the flesh. I want to say this. They're all grief to God. But nothing's more vile than those four things we've talked about tonight. Why don't you get it right? Why don't you get it settled? Why don't you just make up your mind, I'm done, I'm finished. I'm not going that route.
Yes.
Amen.
Make up your mind.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Help is God.
I don't want to be involved in it. I'm going to be the one young man like Daniel, and I'm going to stand against it.
Yeah.
And they put it in front of me, I'm going to stand against it. When the women come at me, I'm going to stand against it. And I'm going to fight it. Donnie Harvey said, his daughter said to him many years ago, said, Daddy, it's hard being pretty. He said, well, what do you mean, sweetheart? She said, all the boys chase me. And I don't want a boyfriend. That's the daughter that God gave a preacher husband. Just throwing that out there. Where's that young lady today? Where's that young lady? Oh, it's early. I got mixed up. I thought it was 7:23. It's only 7:22. Little girls, you listen to me. You don't need a boyfriend. You need God. You need God. Boys, you don't need a girlfriend. You need God. There's two things I find in the Bible. I find a young man without a wife. Are we doing okay on this? Is anybody going to choke on this? Because I could stir it up and make it palatable if you want. And I find a man with a wife. Two types of young ladies I find in the Bible. One, she's under her father's roof. Oh, there's the crickets. They've only showed up like twice tonight, but that was the second one. Or she's married. Some of you, it's too late. You can't go back under your father's roof. Some of you would be insane to go back under your father's roof. But you don't have to give yourself lasciviousness. I didn't deserve a wife. I did not deserve a wife. But God was merciful and gave me a wife.
Amen.
Some of you didn't deserve a wife, but God was merciful and gave me a wife.
Amen.
She's gone. Well, I have to catch up later. Let's just have a kiss your wife moment, okay? If your wife's next to you, go grab her, give your wife a kiss. Thank God for us. Pastor Hayden just have to wait a little bit. Wake her up when you get home. Yeah. Tell Brother McVeigh said, give me a kiss. Amen. That's right. Did you hear it? Always do.
Yeah. Hey.
That's it.
Usually the last thing before I leave.